Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We're joined today by Angie Brenner and Joy Stock Young, the authors of Tree of Life, Turkish Home Cooking. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kara.
I first have to ask how the two of you, both from the Midwest, ended up writing a book about Turkish cuisine.
Well, that's a very long story, but to condense it a little bit, both of us, Joy grew up in Milwaukee. I grew up right across the lake from her in Michigan. I headed early on, headed west, and I'm in the San Diego area, and Joy is in the New Jersey area. And we actually ended up in Turkey through a mutual friend who offered to bring us into that part of her world. And at the time, I owned a travel bookstore in Del Mar, California, and was friends with this person. And so I went off to Turkey and have not stopped. And that was at least 25 years ago.
And I am the person whom we're mentioning's name is Wendy, and I ended up in the same place as Angie, coming from New Jersey. I'd never met Angie before, and we were running a small guest house. And what one of the connections Angie and I found was our love of food and cooking. And so we were going to be running this bed and breakfast and planned elaborate mornings where we would serve, homemade goodies and Turkish coffee. And the guest house turned out to be a bit of a disaster. And we had no guests, and we ended up becoming fast friends. And a lot of this is, we talk about in our book, Anatolian Days and Nights, A Love Affair with Turkey. So Angie and I spent years writing a book about our travels, and Angie can take it from here because the connection through all of this has been food.
Yes, it was, Joy is right. I had brought some Pete's coffee over, and I was going to make frittatas and all of that. And it was that love of food. And through this kind of an adverse situation, we ended up meeting for the first time in Kaltan, a little village on the Turkish coast. And we just started talking about food over Turkish wine. We would talk for hours about the cuisine and where we wanted to travel. And that's kind of how it started. And I wanted to explore more of Turkey, and she was willing to go anytime during the year. So we jumped in.
It wasn't that simple. We both had jobs. So what I think is more interesting about this is that it was as if Ariadne had spun a web, and we started to be intrigued about various regions of Turkey, and each region has its own cuisine, its own history, and we would start to explore different regions for their food, number one, and then for its history. So it all started to be intertwined, and we started to rearrange our lives so that we could make these trips.
Right. Yeah. And also we started making friends. So that's that's what started Tree of Life Turkish Home Cooking, really, is when we would be in people's homes cooking with them, cooking with the women. Even the men would come into the kitchen, and we would find sourcing their local ingredients and then coming home and making these beautiful dinners and often singing and belly dancing at the end of the evening.
Talk about some of the definitive ingredients and flavors and techniques in Turkish cuisine, some of the really sort of signature things about the food that you came to learn and love.
Well, the food is extraordinary, and Turkey has so many different regions. So there are some foods that seem to define the country across from the Aegean all the way to the Persian border, Syrian border, and Black Sea. And I would say one of those is lentil soup. And you can find lentil soup in every train station, bus station, anybody's home, in little lakantas. And to add to that, there's a spice that is pretty much for us defines turkey, although it's got a name from a place called Aleppo, and that is Aleppo pepper. And it's a mildly spiced pepper that is often sprinkled on soups. It's put into kofta, meatballs. It's added as a little lagniappe to just about anything. And now that spice is coming from an area in southeast Turkey called Marash, because obviously you can't get into Syria.
And the other, some other iconic foods are the, or techniques would be something like simmering vegetables in oil. They do a lot of like eggplants, leeks, green beans. We have three recipes specifically in our cookbook that are long cooking in oil. And it imparts a flavor that you can't get by quick stir frying or whatever. And we love these. And it's a pretty common type of cooking technique in Turkey.
And another one would be bulgur. Wheat pretty much was domesticated in the area of Mesopotamia, which is part of southeast Turkey into Iraq and Syria and that area. So bulgur is easily transportable. You know, it's cracked, cooked, dried wheat, and it reconstitutes. And they often will make beautiful pilafs with bulgur and enhanced with herbs, handfuls of mint and dill and parsley. And we have a recipe in the cookbook that was taught to us at the Istanbul Culinary Institute. And it's delicious and easy. And people think you worked really hard on it. So one of the things is throughout this country, there are trade routes. So food had to be transportable. And bulgur would be another iconic ingredient.
This might be a good time to jump in and put raki, their Turkish liquor. And it's has an anise flavor to it. And most of our Turkish friends will have what they call a raki table, where they have mezes, the appetizers, and they serve this drink with a little water, a little ice, and we love it, don't we, Joy?
Yes, we do. And if you want to come over to either of our houses, we'll be happy to serve you the Bosphorus Fizz, which was created by our friend Warren, a cocktail expert, involves raki and carrot juice and rose syrup. Very delicious. One other ingredient I wanted to mention, which seems obvious and is yogurt. And yogurt pretty much travels. Again, you can keep it out for a few days if you want. It's fermented milk that we all love, the thick yogurt. And you can get that anywhere in Turkey. And it's often served with kofta. Kofta, in Turkey, the main meat is lamb. There is no pork, there's no beef until recently. And a good spiced kofta often comes with a yogurt sauce. And it's called tzatziki in Greek, tzatziki in Turkey. And it's yogurt with maybe mint or dill, a little salt, a little garlic or not. And it's the food of the gods and goddesses, if you ask me.
So if you were putting together a menu for a dinner party and you were introducing them to Turkish cuisine, what are some of the iconic dishes in the book? What are some of those recipes that someone really has to eat to understand this is what this food is about?
Well, I'm going to jump in and say manti. That is, it's like a Turkish ravioli. It's with a pasta dough, but they make it in little pockets. And we actually in the recipe have the traditional lamb, but we also do it with spiced chickpeas with Aleppo pepper and feta with a little parsley and some walnuts. But it was a Turkish friend that lives in a friend of mine that lives in San Diego and was making this for us. And she actually was making it with wonton wrappers because she said, I don't have time to make the dough. So it was delicious. We've tried that. We have that recipe in our book. But everywhere, I know Joy has her favorites. Manti is one of my favorites. It's a soft kind of comfort food.
And I want to add, we have two recipes in the book. One is with the traditional egg pasta, and you can have fun rolling that. And I love rolling it, but it takes an afternoon, and often we like to do it with friends, or you can use the wonton wrappers, which, as Angie said, are really delicious, and that's served with a yogurt sauce. Another dish that would be iconic that I think is fabulous is imam bayilde. Mm. And what it means is the imam fainted. And in the book, we have the story that attaches to it, but it's what Angie was speaking to earlier. The eggplant is sauteed with a lot of oil, good olive oil. We like to use grapeseed oil with that. And it's a vegetarian dish and is silky as can be. So I really recommend the imam bayilde and perhaps have it with the Monty.
Just a reminder that support for today's show comes from Spice Islands. Spice Islands takes a craft approach with their premium spices to capture the most flavor in each spice, a difference you can taste in every bottle. They take the extra steps to ensure richer flavors, like waiting for their dillweed to bloom before harvesting, or milling their garlic to a true powder so it doesn't add grittiness to your dishes. Better yet, they maintain a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. When you use premium spices, the flavors are richer, which makes a noticeable difference in your recipes. So whether you're looking for flavor adventure or simply better tasting meals, fill your pantry with Spice Islands. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes, including one for spiced maple carrots, a quick, simple side to complement any meal. That's spiceislands.com/clever, and pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers.
You mentioned the story that dish's name comes from, and there are so many interesting stories, and I especially love all the Turkish proverbs sprinkled throughout the book. Can you talk about some of those and about some of the other material that you put in the book along with the recipes to kind of give some context and give the feel of the culture and the cuisine?
Well, my favorite quote is not in the cookbook. Angie's going to go to a few in the cookbook, but it's what has inspired all our cooking. And it's the Turkish proverb goes, by the time the wise woman has found a bridge, the crazy woman has crossed the water. And why I love that is because when you're testing and writing new recipes, or when you go into an area in which you're unfamiliar, you have to trust instinct. Mm-hmm. And we've found that that has really worked and led us into kitchens we never would have imagined we'd go to. So that's one. Angie can give you a fun one from the cookbook. So I'll let you take it away, Angie.
Well, we have several of these in our Anatolian Days and Nights book too. And the one that I always like is because it speaks to our collaboration as writers and cooks. A good companion shortens the longest road, which I love that one. But I have one of my favorites, and it came from a Turkish boyfriend who at the time I had my travel bookstore, and he would come and visit, and I would come and say, you know, what a wonderful day we've had. We've had a fabulous day. And he would say something like, you have one horseshoe, now you need three more and a horse. Hmm. And so that kind of tells you a lot about Turks and the idea of behind the excitement of something, there's always a little of this like reality or shadow side or something. But I always said he couldn't go through a good Turkish person cannot go through a day without a good Turkish idiom.
So my favorite from the cookbook is the clever mother makes small meatballs, the clever children grab two. And meatballs and kofta are really often you can get them in little stands, or they're served often at meals with homemade pita bread. And yes, you can't eat just one and you can't eat just two. And another, because what one should remember is Turkey is also surrounded by water. The Aegean, the Mediterranean, the Black Sea, the Bosphorus, the Sea of Marmara. So there's a lot of really beautiful fish in Turkey as well. And another is, with an inch of water, we dream of fish. Mm. So
Well, and the other thing that when we're cooking with people, with women especially, They use, you know, to get the right texture, kind of like both Joy and I grew up with mothers or grandmothers that we cooked with. And one Turkish mother was making manti, and she said, you have to get the dough as soft as a lamb's ear, so you get a feeling of texture.
I love that. That's really, yeah. It compels you. It's exactly, you know, yeah. Exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one. I like this one. The hungry man's eye always falls on the pantry. So this is telling you that food is central to the lives of everybody we've met in Turkey. And there's a story in the book about a group of friends who we thought they were having this argument. They were talking in Turkish and we can't fully understand it when they're talking really quickly. They were arguing about the best way to cook mullet. And you would have thought they were discussing the most intense political discussion you've ever seen. So that's how important food is in Turkey. And mezes are a part of all of that. And Angie and I have embraced meze culture. We have a number of which are little snacks. And mezes often serve as dinner. And there'll just be a lot of plates of small food. You can share it, much like a tapas. And so we have a number of recipes in the book for that. And often they're simple things like pickles or spiced nuts or olives or a nice piece of cheese that's been sautéed and topped with a little oregano and served with fresh pita bread. So the food is, we've got complex recipes in the book, but there's a lot of food that's quite simple and beautifully flavored. And that's one of the things. Oh, go ahead, Angie.
I was just going to say that speaking of those mezes is we both have things on hand. We always have feta cheese. So I had somebody come over last night at the, you know, just showed up and I just sliced some feta cheese, put some Aleppo pepper on it and drizzled olive oil. And you would have thought that I had served something grand, but you would never not have something for a guest.
I love that. And I love that, you know, I'm also from the Midwest. I'm from Illinois. And I love that sort of Midwestern yes. hospitality yes. Mm-hmm. really carries over, that the idea of putting something in front of someone, whether it's these incredibly complex dumplings or ravioli that you've made individually or a piece of bread with some cheese on it, that it's a gift and it's welcoming someone in and it's sort of opening the door to conversation. So I love the similarities sort of in the way that you think about food.
Well, I have
Sarah, I
was just going to say, Joy, I have my Midwestern aunt that will not show up unless she brings a cake or something.
Right.
You know.
Well, what I find interesting about that is that's one of the things we found that we loved about Turkey. And you often hear, we've been asked over and over, have you been afraid? What do you experience? And we experience Midwestern hospitality and Kara, you know what that is, and it's mm-hmm. exactly that. You can't get out of a person's house without gaining 5 pounds.
Well, on the other hand, also speaks to that too. That the Turks have this sense of humor that
we
haven't experienced in other places, and you'll get it from being from the Midwest. Just these little humor that they throw in that's like so quintessential Turkish.
Well, I think that really comes across in the book, both the sort of deliciousness of the food from the simple to the more complex and the importance of the food and what it means to sit down at a table and eat it together. So thank you so much for sharing it with us. And thank you so much for writing this book.
Well, thank you,
Kara. And I have a question for you.
Sure.
Can we cook for you sometime?
I would love that.
Thank you.
I want to come to the bed and breakfast. It sounds
you are invited. Angie's going to be here in the fall, and I'm absolutely serious. Would you come down? I'm. You can take a bus, right? I can get you, and we'll cook for you.
That sounds great. So our office is in New York. So I live in New York now.
No problem. I'm in the New York metropolitan area.
Perfect. Yeah. I love it.
She's an hour away from Manhattan.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
We can get you down and get you back.
Check out the book, Tree of Life, Turkish Home Cooking, and tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.